breaking down the big games and talking about the big names. You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
And for the first time in 16 years, Auburn is going to the Sweet 16. 89-75 the final.
All right, welcome in. FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night. On a Auburn wins Monday. Auburn into the Sweet 16 Monday. They just keep getting it done. Fifth Sweet 16 in program history. And we got a big show on deck tonight. Dalton Orwig and Corey LeBounty in with you on Sports Night right here on FM Talk 106.5. Coming up, 7:30, go ahead and set your alarms. You don't want to miss this interview. Talking with the greatest Auburn basketball coach in the program's history. We're talking with Sonny Smith. Of course, now he's the color commentator on the Auburn Sports Radio Network alongside Rob Bramlett, who calls play-by-play. And Sonny Smith had a... exciting couple of games to call over the weekend, Corey, and looking forward to talking with them.
Without question, I mean, you have an opportunity to see and hear his insight. He's around the Auburn basketball program and has been all year long, and this is an Auburn program, Dalton, that has really shocked the nation and gotten their attention. You get one more win, and you're in uncharted territory for Auburn basketball.
Yeah, they're the hottest team in the NCAA right now, beating New Mexico State in the first round on Thursday. Then the Tigers turned around and absolutely dominated Kansas late Saturday night. They were the final game to go on Saturday night. Tigers have now won 10 games in a row. That all began with a 78-75 win at Georgia back on February 27th. So it's been a whole month of winning. And that also, of course, included a four-day run through the SEC tournament to win the conference championship. Jared Harper spoke with reporters after the win against Kansas and said, it's about the little things, Corey, the little things.
We're moving the ball well, defending, being physical. Those things are just what small things that it takes to get to the Sweet 16 and even further.
So it seems like their head is in the right place. Talk about the small things. It's about getting the rebounding, getting the steals, getting everything you can done.
Without question, I mean, Dalton, when you look at the situation for the Auburn Tigers, they've just been shooting the three ball tremendously. And when they do miss those shots, they're crashing the glass. I mean, 33-point attempts against Kansas, shooting 13 out of 30. I think another game they might have shot 15 out of 30. So anytime you're shooting right at the 50% mark or beyond or better from the three-point line, you give yourself an opportunity to get out. And just like they did against Tennessee in the SEC championship game, you hit three or four three-pointers and the other team comes away with empty possessions, not being able to score. All of a sudden, you're down 9 or 12 on the scoreboard, and this Auburn blitz where they don't care who gets the points and they're sharing the basketball. Even with Harper being in foul trouble in the SEC championship game and against New Mexico State early, Auburn's found a way to get it done.
They have, and I saw the similarities between the first half of the Kansas game and the second half of the SEC tournament game against Tennessee, and somebody put a tweet up there. I think the first half of the Kansas game ended up being their second highest offensive rating half of the entire season. That second half against Tennessee where they really turned it up and put them away, that was their best offensive half of the entire season. But you know, coming into this first weekend of the tournament, after the eight game run that Auburn had already been on, a lot of people, including myself, I thought they wouldn't be able to keep it up. I thought that they would, have at least one bad game over the weekend, and we've seen plenty of times where one bad game for a good team is enough to do you out of the NCAA tournament. But now, Corey, I am a full believer in this team.
I saw them play in January against Georgia in Auburn. My best friend Mac McGadney played on that 99 Auburn team. And when I saw them play against Georgia, they took Georgia to the woodshed that night. And this is a pretty big and athletic Auburn team, but they're going to have to shoot the three ball well. And then you turn around, Alabama had them on the ropes in Coleman Coliseum, had them down 12. Then all of a sudden, here comes those three balls again, and Auburn found a way to mature. But anytime you go undefeated the entire month of March, That's pretty impressive, and that's what the Auburn Tigers have been able to do so far.
And that's why so many people are saying that they are the hottest team in the nation right now that's in the NCAA tournament. So I took a look around at some of the other 15 teams that are still playing, tried to see if anyone could compete with level when it comes to the hotness meter, or if you're playing NBA Jam, that meter where turns you on fire once you hit enough shots, which Auburn's certainly on fire right now. But 12-seed Oregon, who I guess you can call them a Cinderella team, they get more money from Nike than any school in the country, and they're an athletic powerhouse. But they, if you want a Cinderella, they'll have to be your Cinderella this year. They're the lowest seeded team still playing, number 12 seed, of course. But they've also won 10 games in a row, much like Auburn. But most of those games came against that weak Pac-12 conference, and they only had one win in this 10-game streak against a top 25-ranked team, and that was against Wisconsin, who in the final rankings ended up at number 21. So if we're comparing 10-game streaks, I'd say Auburn takes a little bit of precedence over that Oregon streak. You got number one seed Duke, who of course went on a run to win the ACC tournament, but they lost three of their last six games in the regular season. Now, of course, they're without Zion, and he is Duke right now. You got Zion and Barrett, who without them, Duke would not be where they are. But still, if you're comparing who's streaking right now, Duke, they came in limping into the ACC tournament, and they're very beatable, as we saw against UCF yesterday. Auburn's next opponent, UNC, they might be the second or third hottest team right now still in the tournament. They won eight in a row before they lost to Duke in the ACC semifinals. And then Gonzaga, for the longest time, they had the nation's longest winning streak, 20 games, but that was snapped in a blowout loss against St. Mary's in the WCC tournament. So when you compare them, Auburn, hottest team going right now. I thought their regular season, I'm not alone in thinking that it was a bit mediocre, a little disappointing. You talked about the Georgia game. You talked about going to the wire with Alabama. But now with 10 in a row and 12 of their last 13 games being wins, and you talked about the three-pointer, they led the nation and made threes in the regular season, and that's really been what spurred this offense.
I think what's going to be interesting to see, Dalton, is you look at the SEC. You have the Sweet 16 that's being presented to us, and you have four SEC schools that are in there. And at any given time, any of those four schools, you look at Auburn, we've just been talking about them and the run that they've been able to make. LSU had a spectacular season, winning the regular season, but doing so now winning with the interim coach. Then you look at, you can't take anything away from the other two SEC schools who are doing quite well as well. Tennessee, always, I mean, you look at the coach, that the job that's been done by the Tennessee Volunteers, being up 25 points to Iowa, and then just losing a little focus, but finding a way to get it done. Again, ACC with three schools, SEC with four. Can't take anything away from the competition. ACC finished the regular season with 1, 2, and 3 being ranked, but the SEC has definitely shown that their level of competition in basketball has gotten a lot better.
Yeah, for sure. Four teams remaining. Let's talk about how some of these teams got here into the Sweet 16. Of course, Auburn's next opponent, that number one seed, UNC, they got here with wins over Iona. Not a very tough win, even though I think they were behind at halftime. They had to rally. And they also beat number nine seed Washington over the weekend. So the winner of that Auburn-UNC game on Friday night will face either number two seed Kentucky, who Auburn has not beaten this year, or they'll play number three seed Houston. And Houston got here by easily beating Georgia State, which that was, I think, a bummer for the Sun Belt Conference that Georgia State got in and then played as poorly as they did once they made it into the first round. But after that win, Houston went on to beat Ohio State in the second round. Kentucky, they beat trendy upset pick Wofford 62-56 on Saturday. And the hero for that game, I guess, I didn't mean to drop a pun there, but it's easy with freshman Tyler Hero. And they tasked him with shadowing Fletcher McGee, and he shut him down. And we're talking about the NCAA's all-time leader in three-pointers, and went 0-for-12 against the Wildcats and against Tyler Hero on Saturday when they played. And the Wildcats, they've been getting it done, Corey, without P.J. Washington, their leading scorer and rebounder. He's been out with a sprained left foot, I think, but the word is he's going to get that cast taken off on Wednesday and then should be back out on the court by this weekend.
Much-needed rest by him, and again, you have a fresh Kentucky team that likes to play a lot of players, and that's going to be a great matchup with Houston. And Coach Sampson does an outstanding job, and for the last 2 years have had Houston back to the days of people thinking and talking about Fast Slamma Jamma and the dominance that they once had.
And the first game of the year, really, the first game of the March Madness tournament that was madness was that LSU game where they had to beat Maryland with a last-second layup. Of course, they survived that first upset attempt by Yale, and then they had Maryland on Saturday. But you had Tremont Water with the game winner. Here's that call.
Waters makes his move. 3 seconds. Waters to the rim. Layup. Good! 1.6. Maryland has no timeouts. Ayala, three-quarter court. It's over. March equals madness.
I think that was the first buzzer beater of the tournament, and it came first game on Saturday morning. And what a play by Tremont Waters.
His ability to get to the rim is exactly what you want to see, and you need him to be healthy because, again, a lot of people have been talking about Coach Izzo and the Michigan State Spartans and his opportunity to get into his players' face. I personally don't have a problem with what Coach Izzo did and the way he confronted his players because his players reciprocated the love back to him, and that's, you know, demonstrative behavior by a coach I don't have a problem with. Coach Izzo, that's how he is, old school, but that's going to be a wonderful matchup between Michigan State and LSU.
I'm looking forward to it. I got Michigan State in the final in all of my brackets, but who really cares anymore because brackets basically busted. Number two seed Tennessee almost gave it away. You talked about it earlier. That was almost tragic for the Volunteers. Gave away the biggest comeback in tournament history. That was on the second game to tip off, actually the first game to tip off yesterday morning against Iowa.
Clock ticks and we're coming to the end and the Tennessee Volunteers survive and advance. Sweet 16.
You heard Rocky Top playing there in the background. It was real rocky there for a few minutes. They led by 25 in the first half, gave it all away in the second half, ended up having to win the game in OT. And interestingly, Admiral Schofield, who knocked down a couple more clutch buckets over the weekend, but he took an ill-timed three there at the end of the game. He was sitting there with four fouls. Rick Barnes took him out of the game. He didn't see the court again for the last minute and a half, 2 minutes, and then didn't play at all in overtime. Admiral is a big team first guy. He was the first one out on the court after they won, celebrating. But there's been some word out that maybe there's some dissension in the locker room with him and the rest of the team. I don't think that's true at all. Admiral Schofield doesn't seem like that kind of guy. But Tennessee, they've got number three seed Purdue coming up on Thursday. And Purdue, of course, dominated the defending champions Villanova 87-61 in the round of 32. So that's where we lie with the SEC teams that made it into the Sweet 16. We'll go over the rest of the other half of the bracket when we get back here on Sports Night. And also, let's discuss where this season ranks in the history of Auburn basketball. I don't think they're the best Auburn team ever yet, but I think they could change that narrative coming up on Friday. And plus, we'll talk to former Auburn coach Sonny Smith. That's coming up at 7:30. You don't want to miss it. Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
You're listening to FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Erwig and Corey LaBounty. Call the show or text your thoughts to 251-343-0106.
Another March Madness Monday on Sports Night, FM Talk 106.5. Coming up in just about 10, 11 minutes, we'll talk with former Auburn coach Sonny Smith. He's the current color commentator for Auburn Sports Radio Network alongside Rod Bramlett. And he's had a heck of a ride with the Auburn Tigers team this season. We'll get his take on where they stand now and what he's looking for in that game against number one seed North Carolina on Friday night. But Corey, we left the last segment discussing the Sweet 16 and how they got here. We talked about the SEC teams, the four remaining SEC teams and their opponents coming up on Thursday and Friday. And it's really a top-heavy Sweet 16 this year. I don't think I've ever seen anything like this, but you still have all four number one seeds still playing, as well as all four number two seeds. All the number three seeds are still in there. You got two of the four seeds. Auburn is the five seed, who they felt they should have been ranked a little bit higher there at the end of the season. And then 12 seed Oregon, last team that could be considered a Cinderella team. Oregon got here. They won the Pac-12 championship. They're also on a 10-game winning streak like Auburn. And then in that first round, they crushed 5 seed Wisconsin by 18 points and then beat 13 seed UC Irvine by 19. So not much of a test for the 12 seed that's still in the tournament, but they'll play number one seed Virginia, so they're going to have a test soon enough. That game will be on Thursday night, and Virginia hasn't had a test either. They've had two easy wins in their first two rounds. In the East, though, a team that has had a difficult test and rose above it, number one overall Duke. They survived a near upset by 7'6" Taco Fall and the UCF Golden Knights. Duke ended up winning that one yesterday, 77-76.
Taylor driving in, banks it up, no, put back. Just
That was outstanding watching Taco and Zion. It was everything they said it would be, Corey.
Without question, one of the best college games I've seen, and Zion Williamson found a way to get that and one and a couple questionable decisions by Coach Dawkins' son. You go for that alley-oop when you're up by four at that point in time. You hold that ball and you possibly run some more time or clock. It's a situation where you had just had a huge dunk, but that time and situation, when they went back and looked at that film, I guarantee they were second-guessing themselves. But a wonderful game, student versus teacher, Coach K, Johnny Dawkins, one of the Duke all-time greats going against one another. Just the type of love that was reciprocated towards one another after the game. You hated it. To me, Duke deserved to lose. It would have busted my bracket totally up, but it was a great contest.
So my question is, when is UCF going to have the victory parade? When are they going to raise the banners?
People are asking, making fun of the football team's claim to fame in the national championship a couple years ago. But it was a great basketball game. It's what March Madness is all about.
They need to get Taco Fall out there on the block kickoff team and on the punt return team to see if he can knock some footballs out of the air.
7'6", Dalton. Massive. I mean, they showed a picture of Zion Williamson, who's 280 and at least 6'7" himself, posted up against Taco. And what a great name, Taco Fall. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better name for the big fella. But if he stays on the floor and does not foul out of that game, that's the difference in the game also.
Yeah, and the TV crew had all the opportunity to work with as many taco puns as they wanted to in that game yesterday, and I think they let every single one of them go on the air. So Zion and the Blue Devils now have number 4 seed Virginia Tech next. Of course, the Hokies beat Duke without Zion, 77-72 in the regular season. Zion, of course, changes the whole complexion of that game. We'll see what happens when they take each other on. Then you got number 1 seed Gonzaga. They've had a couple easy wins. No more, I think. I think this will be a tough game for them. They're playing number 4 seed Florida State. And that's after the Seminoles blew out what everyone was hoping would be the Cinderella team. Ja Morant, Fairhope's Tevin Brown, and those Murray State Racers 90-62 on Saturday. But still got to be happy with what Murray State was able to do, and especially for our local guy, Tevin Brown.
Without question. I mean, you look at the situation in the season that he had. What a counterpart partner that he had in Ja Morant. Just complimented Tevin Brown's shooting ability, and the Racers had an outstanding season, one of the best in school history, and definitely made a name for themselves for years to come.
And then the last matchup we have here on Sweet 16, number 2 seed Michigan. They ended Florida's season over the weekend, and they'll face number 3 seed Texas Tech after that great Red Raiders defense shut down Northern Kentucky and Buffalo. Buffalo, another trendy Cinderella pick, but they were actually a 6 seed this year after going 30-3. A lot of people thought they would make it further in the tournament, but Texas Tech really locking it down on the defensive end.
I mean, anytime you dig yourself into a 15-16-point hole early and you really, you're known for your defensive effort and you give up that many points, it's just something in a deficit that Buffalo was not used to playing at. I mean, a lot of people had them being the Cinderella team, possibly making it to the Elite Eight and being the Loyola Chicago of this year, but it just didn't happen that way, and they ran up against a tough Texas Tech team.
Well, the team that airs right here on FM Talk 106.5 and will again be on the air Friday night with the pregame show beginning at 6 o'clock, the Auburn Tigers, possibly having the greatest season in the history of the program. Now, Corey, I wasn't alive for those great Auburn teams of the mid to late 80s, so I've only read about the job that Sonny Smith did back then and Charles Barkley being on the court, Chuck Person, but I've always been a huge fan of Bruce Pearl since he was a head coach at Tennessee, and it's just been awesome watching him coach the Auburn Tigers from one of the worst teams in the SEC into one of the best. But now after they survived that upset attempt over the weekend, over on Thursday, and then just crushed Kansas over the weekend, headed to their 5th Sweet 16 ever. The other 4 teams that have made it to the Sweet 16, the 85 team coached by Sonny Smith, the 86 team also, the team in 2000 made it to the Sweet 16, the team in 2003, and of course last season I think they made it into the Sweet 16. They might have went out early last year, but they're 1-4 in those games to this point. They've only been to the Elite Eight one time, and that was in 1986, and their road ended there against Louisville when they made it that far in 86. The first time they made the Sweet 16 back in 1985, and who did they play but the UNC Tar Heels that first time that Auburn made the Sweet 16. The Tar Heels won that game. We'll see this weekend whether it'll be a different result.
I think the teams will get up and down the floor. It's going to be an exciting pace to watch. I mean, Auburn does play defense, but again, they're known for shooting the basketball extremely well, wanting to press and get up and down the floor. North Carolina plays the same type of tempo. I think points in the paint are going to be the difference in this game. And is Auburn going to be able to control the rebounds? Because if the threes aren't falling, you have to get second chance opportunities. But speaking about what is the best Auburn team ever, I'll be honest with you, Dalton. I mean, you look at Chuck Person and Charles Barkley. That's a dominant force to deal with and the run that they were able to make. And I think the 2000 team that Auburn had, again, that Mac McGadney from LaFleur High School was on, having an opportunity to play with Chris Porter and Doc Robinson and Scotty Pullman, those guys were very special as well. They wound up losing in the Sweet 16, I do believe, to Ohio State and Scooney Penn. So that was a pretty good team also. But everything and all things considered, the Auburn has a chance to establish itself by beating consecutive blue bloods of basketball. Kansas was a preseason number one. Mm-hmm. North Carolina comes in a top five team in the country in the preseason and has secured that ranking throughout the entire season. But if Auburn's able to win this game, I think this will be the greatest Auburn basketball team ever.
I'm right there with you. I think right now we'd have to consider that 1985 team the best Auburn team in the history of the program. Actually, the 86 team, the year right after that, when Chuck Person was still on the team. But we're talking about that Chuck Person who has had a run-in with the legal system lately. But back then, he was a great Auburn Tiger. And I think you're right. If this team upsets North Carolina this week, they'll be tied with them. And if they go on to beat Kentucky or Houston the week after that, then it's over. You're looking at the best Auburn Tigers team to ever take the court. But speaking of that 1985 and that 1986 Auburn team, coming up after the break, we're going to talk with former Auburn coach Sonny Smith. You could probably hear him, or you do hear him, every single time that Auburn takes the court right here on FM Talk 106.5. He's the color commentator on the Auburn Sports Radio Network broadcast alongside Rod Bramlett. We're going to talk with him when we get back. We'll get his take on Auburn's amazing run through the SEC tournament in the first weekend of March Madness, and we'll see where he thinks they stand going into this game against UNC. This is Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
You're listening to FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Erwig and Corey LaBounty. Call the show or text your thoughts to 251-343-0106.
Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night. Another March Madness Monday, another Auburn Tigers win, and a pleasure to be joined by former Auburn Tigers head coach, greatest coach in the history of the program, Sonny Smith. Coached the Tigers from 78 to 89, took them to five straight NCAA tournament appearances, their first Sweet 16, and their only Elite Eight. It is Coach Sonny Smith who joins us on the show. And, of course, we are the Auburn Tigers radio network here in Mobile, Alabama, so you can hear Friday night's game with Sonny Smith and Rod Bramlett on the call with pregame show beginning at 6. Thank you for joining us, Coach.
Oh, I'm glad to be on with you, fellas. How you doing?
Doing outstanding, Coach.
Yeah, we're doing great, and even better now that you're able to join us on the air. So this year's Auburn team and your team back in 1985, lots of similarities, Coach. Both won four games in 4 days to win the SEC tournament and then made it to the Sweet 16 to face North Carolina. The similarities are striking. My first question for you is, with so many games over the course of just a couple weeks, how does playing on all that limited rest help or hurt the team?
Well, it doesn't help, but then you have to look at it like this. Everybody else is doing the same thing. The people that you're playing are probably got the tired legs too, and it comes down to a certain degree on who's got the best bench and who's got the best depth, we could say it that way. And I think that this Auburn Tigers done really well with their bench this year. I've been very pleased with them.
When you look at being pleased with this Auburn Tigers team, what has been probably the biggest point of emphasis for Coach Pearl? Has it been shooting the three ball well, staying out of foul trouble with Jared Harper, or has it just been the rebounding second chance opportunities for this Tigers team?
Well, they're lacking in second chance opportunities. That's the one thing that you worry about every time they go out there. But as far as emphasis, he put a great deal of emphasis on defense, and they, at times, they were a dominating defensive team. And they just turned you over at a rate that it made their offense a heck of a lot better. And that's, I would say that's the most emphasis. And he still plays the same way, wide open, shoot the three, get a quick shot, get a good shot, and it's worked really well for him. It's a different style of play than a lot of other people, but he makes it work with that outstanding defense because he's scoring points off his defense and his offense.
Auburn's regular season this year, I think, a bit of a disappointment for most Auburn fans after they finished first last year in the SEC. What do you think caused that turnaround this year?
Now, you speaking of the Auburn team?
Yeah, the Auburn Tigers team.
I think that probably the maturity of a guy like Jared Harper. He just is such an outstanding point guard. And that would be one thing. And also, I think the fact that the two wing players became great three-point shooters, and it gave them the scoring opportunities. And they were not as good in the post area, but they were able to get enough production there to keep playing. But they weren't as productive as they were a year ago.
Chuma Okeke has really been a difference maker for this Auburn Tiger team as well, the sophomore from Atlanta, Georgia. A lot of people didn't have him on their radar, and now he's looking at a possible opportunity to maybe go into the NBA. What kind of difference has he made for this Auburn Tiger team?
As much as anybody. As much as Jared Harper, I would think, and Bryce Brown. He is just he had to go inside and play, and with his back to the basket, and become a scoring threat when he's more of us like a face-up player, like a four-man in an offense that had a post player. So he's had to go out of position just the least bit, but he has made that work for him too. I think he's one of the outstanding players in the league, and he's going to be one of the very best if he stays and doesn't go into the draft.
It's been great watching him kind of grow up there at Auburn. Of course, now one of the best defenders in the game, but he's knocked down some clutch shots, too, over the last year.
Yes, he certainly has. And I would like him to take the clutch shot because he's the guy that you want with the ball in the hand because he has such a high basketball IQ. That really helps him. He sees the floor. Defensively, he knows how to play a guy without fouling him. And lately he's been having to guard post players, and sometimes he gets a little foul trouble there because they're usually bigger.
Coach, I know there's a lot less stress being the color commentator for the Auburn Radio Network, and you go undefeated over there next to Rob Bramlett, so there's a lot less stress. What's your most memorable moment as head coach of the Auburn Tigers?
I think when the first time we went out and won the tournament in 4 days, and I think we won it at a time where it was awfully difficult because we didn't have great depth, yet we were able to play all those games in such a short period of time and win them with the game on the line in every ball game, win them with a short number of points, like one or two here and there, and that probably was one of my biggest, you know, not more so than taking them to the Final Eight and having the game with Louisville that a lot of people say we could have won. I thought it was one of those we should have won. We made the mistake that beat us. Louisville didn't create the mistake, and that bothered me a little bit right there. I thought we might could have won it all. And I also thought that we could have won it all anyhow if Jeff Moore hadn't broken his hand during the year and have to play part-time with a pad on his hand. He never got back to the score that I thought he would be.
This is Sports Night. We're talking with Auburn great and former head coach Sonny Smith about the hotness level that Auburn's on right now. And, they have a big game coming up on Friday in the Sweet 16 against UNC. You can hear that call with Sonny Smith and Rod Bramlett right here on FM Talk 106.5 beginning at 6. Now, Coach, you and Bruce Pearl, the only coaches in Auburn history to take teams to the tournament back-to-back. Of course, you did it a few more times than back-to-back. But the one thing about Bruce Pearl, they always have a mic on him, and he is such a great motivator. What makes him so good at motivating that team?
He's so positive. I think that's the number one thing. He motivates through positive motivation. A lot of people motivated through fear, you know, challenging them, getting in their face. He does it with positive motivation. He makes better shooters out of people that are just average shooters, because he builds confidence up in them so much. I would say, of all the coaches I've been around in 47 years, there's a lot of them, he's one of the very best at building confidence.
I know you were calling the game on Saturday, I think, is when they talked with Charles Barkley during the game on the TV broadcast. And did you get a chance to hear what Charles Barkley had to say about you? They asked him about his time with you coaching. And, well, Charles Barkley, he said so many great things about you being his head coach. I was going to try to grab the audio clip, but I couldn't find it in time for tonight's show. But I was wondering if anyone played that back for you.
No, my daughter told me about it. My wife told me about it. And some other people in talk shows that I've done talked about it. Well, he now realizes, I think, what we were trying to do to him. And he understands that it made him a little bit better than what he would have been if we hadn't worked him so hard. And I think he's realizing now that was a good thing. And I think we've always had a better relationship than people think, because I always talked about how tough I had to be on him, and I really did. But I thought if I could get some weight off of him, he'd be better. But he's proven. He went to the NBA and he didn't lose weight. They lowered it so it looked good. But he played at the same weight that he always played at. But I tell you what he did do. He firmed those things up, and he was motivated, highly motivated by Moses Malone, who forced him to play harder than he normally had in college.
That's some great stuff. And before you leave us, we got to know, what do you think Auburn has to do on Friday night to upset that blue blood, upset that number one seed North Carolina? What do they need to focus on?
Well, I think, in the North Carolina game, you can't pick out just one guy. They got four big-time scorers. They got a solid people coming off the bench. They got a style of play that you would think fits us. I think it's going to come down to this. Who plays the style of play the best? Who stays out of foul trouble? I think they can get in foul trouble and last longer than we can, because I think their depth is a little bit better than ours, or a little bit bigger than ours maybe. But I tell you what, you got to be proud of Auburn's bench right now. Even though we could get in foul trouble sometime, I think the bench has just taken us out of those problems and made them look better.
Some words of wisdom there from former Auburn coach Sonny Smith. Thank you so much for joining us. And I want to remind everyone they can hear the call with you and Rod Bramlett right here on FM Talk 106.5 Friday night with that pregame show beginning at 6.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Coach, very much.
That's all right. That's Auburn great Sonny Smith joining us here on Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5. Of course, the other school in the state, they've had some basketball news over the last couple days as well. Athletic Director Greg Byrne had a press conference today to talk about the coaching search post Avery Johnson. We'll talk about that next when we get back on Sports Night, FM Talk 106.5.
You're listening to FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Erwig and Corey LaBounty. Call the show or text your thoughts to 251-343-0106.
Great conversation with former Auburn coach Sonny Smith there. If you missed it, too bad. Actually, not too bad. We've got a podcast that we upload after the show. You can catch it on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify. If you just want to go to the website, we'll load it up on fmtalk1065.com. But a great conversation with Sonny Smith. He took his team to the NCAA tournament 5 years in a row. So if Bruce Pearl wants to match that, he's going to have to take the 2020 team, the 2021 team, and the 2022 team. But he could go a long ways towards putting his face on the Mount Rushmore of Auburn basketball if they find a way to beat North Carolina on Friday night.
I just think it's awesome that you're the former head coach at Auburn. You have an opportunity now to go back 34, 35 years later and still be a part of Auburn's program, and to see them, you already were a part of history and made history. Now you have an opportunity to witness history with the best access that anybody could ask for. Yeah. Probably better access than anybody else, including Bruce Pearl, has, because the respect that Coach Pearl has for Coach Smith is second to none.
Mm-hmm. Well, one team that was hoping they had the coach that could take them into the Sweet 16, that would be the Alabama Crimson Tide and NBA great Avery Johnson. Didn't work out that way. They officially bought out his contract Sunday. The word came out that Alabama was going to buy out the contract late last week. So that brings an end to Avery Johnson's career. It ends with a first-round upset loss to Norfolk State in the NIT and a 75-62 record with one NCAA tournament appearance in the four seasons on the court. Corey, why fire him after the Norfolk State loss? Was it that bad, or was it a combination of things?
you lost to Norfolk State,
right?
In the NIT, not in the NCAA tournament, where a 16 beats a 1 or 15 and a 2. It's a situation to where you just didn't see the guys play inspired, and it was kind of a tailspin down the end. The last 10 games of the season, you felt like he was losing players, and as a matter of fact, Alabama does lose guard Dazon Ingram from Theodore High School. He's going to jump into that transfer portal, and he's going to seek opportunities to play basketball elsewhere. He named that today. So that's a tough loss for Alabama, even though he's a graduate student, so he can do so.
So he did graduate, so he can transfer immediately and be on the court for another team next year. Was there any you follow the team a lot closer than I do, even though I've been watching him play. Was there any suspicion that he might be leaving the program?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting situation because Dazon got redshirted his freshman year. He participated in senior day. Even though he was a redshirt junior and had an opportunity to be in graduate school. So that kind of had the writing on the wall. I think whether Coach Avery Johnson was there or not, Dazon was probably going to leave this program and look to go elsewhere. So it'll be interesting to see where he winds up landing. But the Alabama Crimson Tide basketball team really struggled down the stretch and showed flashes of brilliance. Again, beating Kentucky, having an opportunity down the stretch to be up on this Auburn Tigers team, finding a way to lose the same way consistently is what bothered most fans down the stretch. Not to mention, Avery Johnson was the 19th highest paid basketball coach in NCAA history.
He took a lot of teams to the wire. Tennessee was another one of those teams. And with Colin Sexton last year, one of the great recruits that Alabama's had, I think a lot of people were hoping for a deeper tournament run last season. So it ends for Avery Johnson. Now Bama fans start to look forward to who's going to be that next coach and whether they will be able to pull in Trendon Watford, the prized recruit from Mountain Brook High School up there. But he's getting eyes elsewhere.
It'll be interesting to see that exactly, Dalton, because now you look at the head coach, Bucky McMillan of Mountain Brook, who's won 5 state championships at Mountain Brook. Auburn has some vacancies on their coaching staff. Now, does he go to Auburn and take Trendon Watford with him? Does he stay at Alabama, depending on who gets hired? John Pelfrey is now the interim coach for the Alabama Crimson Tide, but it's real tough. Trendon said he's not going to announce his decision on what college he's going to go to until the Jordan Brand game, which is in the middle of April. But the Crimson Tide have a lot of work to do, and it's kind of the mirror image is interesting, Dalton, because you look at where Auburn football is going and where Alabama football is, it's almost opposites when it comes down to basketball. You look at the direction and where Auburn is trending in basketball and where Alabama is trending, totally different directions also.
Duke, right? Duke, Memphis, LSU,
and Indiana.
And Indiana, and those big schools kind of entered the fray late for Trendon Watford. We'll see. I don't know if college basketball has the same rule as NCAA football, where if you hire a coach, they in football, they're not allowed to bring a guy from their high school, I think a 3-year wait period, something like that.
If you're not an on-the-court assistant, he has to be an on-the-court assistant. So if he's actually one of the coaches that is on the staff and is able to coach him up, one of the 3 on-court coaches, he can go to Auburn. He can go to Alabama and bring Trendon Watford with him. He just can't be a director of basketball operations or something like that and bring a player on with
it. That clears it up. There's been a lot of speculation about who Bama's going to hire next, and so much speculation, actually, that the athletic director, Greg Byrne, got out in front of the press today, and Cecil Hurt from TideSports.com wrote about some of what Greg Byrne said. Now, one of those strong rumors that started early, I don't know if it was put out by Rick Pitino's people or people that just hope that he is hired at Alabama, but Rick Pitino was the first name that came to the list, and of course, talking about the former Louisville coach who was wrapped up in this college bribery scandal, and I think it was another scandal that actually did him in, and he was fired from Louisville. But Greg Byrne kind of addressed that today when asked where they would go with the hiring decision. He said, "Today's climate of men's basketball is very unique. There are ongoing legal issues with the FBI and ongoing NCAA investigations, and we don't know how all of that will play out at this point. We're going to keep the University of Alabama's reputation at the forefront of what we do." So sounds to me like Pitino might not be in the running for this job.
I think you can go ahead and get a Sharpie out for Pitino. I think he's not going to be in consideration. It's a great high-profile name, but too much baggage he's bringing to the table. You can go ahead and strike that name off your list.
Adam Zagoria, he writes a great blog, basketball blog, at zagsblog.com, which the first time I went there, I thought he was writing about Gonzaga, but it's just his last name, and he has some great information. But he put out a list of potential Alabama coaches. One name that I saw late last week when Iowa State was tossed from the tournament, Steve Prohm. I guess he graduated from Alabama and served maybe as an assistant on the team for some
time. You look at him being a manager and getting the knowledge and the wealth of sponge situation to where just the basketball knowledge that was around him, he absorbed it like a sponge. That could be an interesting hire. Andy Kennedy's name's been thrown out there as well, Dalton.
Fred Hoiberg, I think you mentioned that earlier. Cincinnati coach Mick Cronin. He puts Wichita State coach Greg Marshall on the list, and after the fiasco when they ended up hiring Avery Johnson, because Greg Marshall was at the top of Bama's list, right? And he kind of used them to get himself a pay increase.
A leverage, and I don't think, now you look at the athletic director at Alabama, he's not going to allow anybody to use leverage. He's not going to get any type of searching committee. He's going to do it himself. He's going to be responsible for restoring basketball order to the University of Alabama, and I think he's going to get a right hire, the right fit, just has to be patient in doing so.
Another name that Zag mentions is former Bama player Mike Davis. How would you feel with Mike Davis as the head coach?
I would like Mike Davis. I think he fits all of the requirements that is being asked of. He's had head coaching experience. He's been successful not only at UAB, but at Indiana also, took them to a Final Four. I think he's at Detroit Mercer now. He was coaching out in Texas prior to taking that Detroit Mercer job, so I think he would be a great fit. He knows the area and the landscape very well, but his name was thrown out a few years ago as well as a possible head coach, and he never got that opportunity.
Well, we'll see how soon they hire a coach. It's especially important with the transfer market nowadays in college basketball. But Byrne taking the bull by the horns today, he said, "The next time I talk publicly after today will be to announce the new coach. If anything gets out that somebody's a leading candidate, or according to sources that they've interviewed or they're going to interview, I kind of assume that that person doesn't want the job." So I guess he's saying, don't believe it until it comes out of my mouth. That's the next time you'll hear that we've hired a new head coach. And some important news in NFL and really pop culture, because Rob Gronkowski has become such a big name, not only on the New England Patriots, not only in Gillette Stadium, but outside of that, with some of the things he does outside of the stadium, which usually includes partying, but I've also seen he's done a lot for the community. But Gronkowski yesterday announcing his retirement on Instagram after 9 years in the league, 3 Super Bowl victories. He had 79 touchdown catches since he was drafted by the Patriots back in 2010, and 10 or more touchdown receptions in 5 seasons, most by a tight end in NFL history. Corey, when we look back at Rob Gronkowski, he might be not only the best receiving tight end, which I think is basically out of question at this point, that he's the best receiving tight end of this generation, but also the best blocking tight end. He was able to get it done both ways.
You know, I heard that debate earlier, and I'm a Tony Gonzalez guy. I'm going to say that by far, if you look at the name T.E. next to somebody's name, it's going to be Tony Gonzalez, but the numbers that Gronk and the matchup problems that he presented were second to none. His catches, his clutch catches were key, and you take Tom Brady away from Gronk and Gronk away from Tom Brady, and I think neither one of them are going to have the success. Even though the Patriots did win a Super Bowl without him, I still, in that 1 year in which he was injured, I still think Gronk is probably a top 5 tight end of all time.
We need to have a talk about what constitutes which generation. I think, you know, if you go by the Generation X, Z, Millennial, that's probably the best, because I think of Tony Gonzalez as maybe a generation before Rob Gronkowski. That's when he got, even though their careers overlapped, he was so good in the 2000s. But certainly both very good tight ends. And we might not have seen the end of Rob Gronkowski. If they get to the end of the season and the Patriots are looking for a tight end, get ready.
Well, I mean, you look at Jason Witten coming back from doing Monday Night Football. He had that itch and decided to scratch it. But where I really want to see Gronkowski is, I'm a WWE wrestling fan. I want to see Gronk get in the ring and do a little bit of that.
That would be I think you're going to get your wish. I think he's heading to the WWE. And one last thing before we leave, of course, next Monday we'll talk about the results from the Elite Eight. Hopefully Auburn's still standing. You can hear the game on Friday right here on FM Talk 106.5 beginning at 6 o'clock. But coming up Thursday, Major League Baseball opening day, even though the season has technically already begun with a 2-game series in Tokyo last week with Ichiro Suzuki retiring as the all-time active hits leader. But a big game for the Atlanta Braves on Thursday. They start their season with a series against the Philadelphia Phillies and newly signed superstar Bryce Harper. Should be a great baseball season, and we'll do our best to break some of that down over the course of the year. All right, Corey, have a good one.
Do the same, Dalt.
This is Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5, and we'll see you same time, same place next week. Coming up, The Car Show with Tom Claxton and Kevin Raywinkle.